In my opinion, Alaska deserves good government. And I think with the improvement that we've seen in our financial situation, we can afford a certain amount of it. By improvement, I mean the price of oil has improved from last summer around $8 or $9 a barrel, I'm not sure what it was, to over 18. And that's the world price. I don't have the price of North Slope Intermediate crude, but that also follows the world price of oil. In fact, we're seeing that talk of an income tax has largely subsided. We're not going to have an income tax this year. Permanent fund dividend, as was indicated today, is not going to be capped. Nothing's going to be done with the dividend program. So it's clear there's a little more money around. Now, as I say, Alaska deserves good government. It's not going to get it, however, if the governor is allowed to reduce public employee wages in an arbitrary and capricious fashion, as is what appears to be happening. What will happen instead is programs to which funds have been restored as a result of our improving financial situation will be poorly administrated because program staff will leave rather than be paid less than their services are worth. For example, although I've been an employee with the state for 18 years, I will resign rather than see my wages cut by 10% if I can't receive adequate compensation from the state of Alaska. Then I will go elsewhere where I can receive adequate compensation. I think there are a lot of other folks who feel the same way as I do. I know of at least one other that I've talked to in the last day or two. Our departure will leave tasks previously accomplished by us in the hands of less qualified individuals hired at lower wages who will not be able to perform at the level of competence and professionalism Alaskans have come to expect from their civil servants. Services less effectively delivered will end up costing the state money. These costs will be in addition to the negative effects mentioned by a number of previous speakers on of lower state payrolls on Alaska's economy and on the individual economies of Juneau, Anchorage, and Fairbanks. In short, Senator, I think the best way to sum up is that you can pay now or you can pay later. Choice is up to you. Now, there's some questions about savings, which are not part of my prepared remarks, but I'll address one in particular, particularly that's kind of stuck in my craw. And that relates to state insurance, or the health insurance. Right now, I'm a single man. I'm divorced. My ex-wife also works for the state. Her husband works for the state. She has custody of our kids. Our kids are covered by my policy. They're covered by her policy, and they're covered by their stepfather's policy. I think our kids have 150% medical coverage, which is being paid for by the state. I don't need 150% medical coverage. 100% is plenty. In fact, 80% might be plenty. Point is that the way the state's insurance structure, as I understand it, is set up, they have no way of tracking on this overlapping coverage, which they're paying for, and which is counted as a portion of employee personal services costs. And I think somebody should talk to the retirement benefits about looking at this and seeing if they can deal with that problem. That concludes my remarks. Is there any questions?
Thank you, John. Are there any questions, committee? Thank you very much, John. Kathy Ermatinger. I'm not sure I pronounced the last name right. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman and member of the Senate Finance Committee, my name is Kathleen Ermatinger, and I'm representing myself. I am not one of those state employees that average $35,000 a year. In fact, I make less than $20,000 a year. I'm very nervous. I do not support the 10% pay cut. I feel that state employees have been very generous in the past few years in giving concessions to the state budget. But you can only ask so much from us. I think that it's time to stop asking these state employees to to pay for the state programs that exist in our state. A letter I received from the states, from Governor Cooper, stated that all state programs have had budget cuts. I realize they have, but the state has an awful lot of giveaway programs where we, the state employees, are going to have to pay for those people who do not contribute at all to this state. And I, for one, am tired of paying for people who do not contribute to this state. It would pay me to become unemployed and go on food stamps, etc., for the amount of money that I make to work 5 days a week. And I just don't understand how you can expect us to take a 10% pay cut. It's unfortunate the situation exists, and I don't have any examples on how you can cut the budget, but I don't think you can expect the state employees to continue to give and give and give to the budget. There has to be a line. And I, for one, I don't know how we would ever afford it. My husband's unemployed. We're both highly educated individuals, but I, for one, am one who would support a strike against a 10% pay cut, because you can't expect us to keep buckling under the state budget. And I do appreciate your situation, but I wanted to give my opinion to you and hope that you do understand that there are a lot of people who are probably more scared than I am to come up here and talk to you who feel the same way. I've talked to several people in our offices, and they have the same opinion as I do. And that's about all that I wanted to say. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, Kathy. That's the last person we have that signed up on the sheet to testify. We still have 10 minutes before 1 o'clock. Is there anyone out there who would like to say something? Yes, the lady in the back.
And I'm a member of the Confidential Employees Association.
You've got to speak right up into the mic there. They won't be able to hear you.
Okay.
What's your name? Give name and who you represent.
My name is Elsie Pizzuto, and I'm representing myself. I'm a member of the Confidential Employees Association. I have some suggestion for pay or to save money. First of all, we had an out-of-state travel ban, and it was just lifted. My department where I work, I see a lot of training going on that I think a lot of that could be stopped also. Exempt employees, when they start, their pay salary started a C-step. It took me a year and a half of working for the state to get to a C-step. I don't feel that that's fair. Also, with daycare and expenses, I agree with the lady who's just up here, that it would be cheaper for me to stay home on welfare and be with my kids and maybe get the school grant and better myself. That's, you know. And vacant positions, I think, that are vacant for over 3 months. To save for the big guys when the cuts come, they can be, I've seen them moved into those positions. I think they should be eliminated completely. If they're just going to sit there for the year and be included in the budget, that's not fair. That's just my opinion. I am in favor of a state income tax. I'd rather see that come in than a 10% pay cut, because a state income tax would hit everyone according to their own income. It would be more fair. I appreciate you listening to me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to take the opportunity to, yes, the lady in the middle there.
Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Finance Committee, my name is Wanda Fleming, and I am representing myself. I am a state employee for over 11 years. I do believe that we all, I mean from the governor all the way down to the janitor, have to take a fine line stand and look at the programs that the state is offering and see where we can cut those programs instead of the state employees. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
My name is Bob Mitchell, and I'm a state employee. I'm representing myself. I've heard a lot of talk about all Alaskans, you know, participating in this process, and I'd be willing to also participate in this process, even if it means a cut for me. that some people are asking for raises. I've heard something about over $500 million in pre-1984 contracts that haven't been awarded yet. And what I'm asking is, I'm asking questions, not really testifying in any way. But I'd like to know about that. Is there anything you could tell me?
Well, perhaps Senator Bennett would like to speak more to it, but there is a bill in by one of the senators to go back and look at those pre-84 capital projects. That is being looked at, I think, by all senators right now as to what whether that money is really needed, whether those projects can go forward or not. But perhaps Senator Bennett might.
Yeah, one of the things that we're faced with, which is kind of devastating to those of us in the legislature, over the years you appropriate money to projects, and then you find out time and time again that the project hasn't been built, or it hasn't been completed, or the program has not been started. But yet the money is still out there somewhere. This is why I'm sure many of you have heard that the state basically has not balanced its checkbook for 6, 7, 8 years. We're told that something probably in the nature of $500 or $600 million is hung out in projects that they're not really sure if they're obligated, or if they're committed, or if they're still out there that's reachable. And I guess our position is, if something was appropriated or something was sent forward back in 82, 83, even 84, and nothing's ever happened, well, then maybe we better reappraise that money as part of looking for additional wealth. You not only look at trying to attract new money to come into Alaska, but you look at the money that we've got previously appropriated. And what we're trying to do is say, okay, fine, if in fact this project or these monies are out there, and it's back in 83, 84, 82, back in that period, we'll just terminate it at this point. And then if in fact it has a constituency and it has a value to compete with today's obligations, we'll reappropriate the money and redo that particular project. The consensus is that most of these are dead projects or part projects or projects that probably don't make any management sense today. And we feel that there's a potential there of recapturing several hundred millions of dollars, which in fact is like new money.
Senator Binkley, do you have anything you want to add, or is
fine? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
If I might, Jim, just add one thing. For what it's worth, I just feel committed to tell everyone present, your legislature, the Senate Finance Committee, which I can speak for, and certainly a member present can contradict it, but the thing is, we are looking for new money. We're looking for ways out, good management ways out of this problem. There are those of us that believe it is a short term. And if we can bring in new wealth from outside, if we can get more money out of our oil, if we can do whatever without disrupting the state that we have, we're trying to do that. And what the gentleman just mentioned is just one other facet that we're looking at to bring new wealth in to where it can be distributed or redistributed.
Thank you. We're approaching 1 o'clock, so we're about point where we want to wrap this up. I want to thank all of you for coming today and presenting your views and what I consider to be some very positive and constructive testimony. I think it was well done. I appreciate you taking your Saturday morning, and I want to thank the members of the Senate Finance Committee who gave up their Saturday morning to come down and listen. I think we've learned a lot. We've heard some good testimony, and I appreciate your turning out. To Senator Bennett or Senator Binkley or Senator Ewing, you have anything you wanted to? Okay, with that, I guess we'll close the hearing, and thanks again for coming. And if you have any further comments, feel free to write or give us a call. Thank you.
The Arctic Winter Games host society for the 1988 Arctic Winter Games in Fairbanks. Is there somebody from Senator Bennett's staff? Dave, why don't you see if you can round somebody up to speak to this? Senator Bennett, we have before Senate Bill number 234, appropriation bill, appropriating $550,000 from the general fund to the Arctic Winter Game Host Society. for the 1988 Arctic Winter Games in Fairbanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is pretty self-explanatory. It's less than a half a page in the bill. And basically, the Alaska will be the host of the Arctic Winter Games this next year. These monies are the operational aspect. There's no capital projects to be built or anything of that nature. Basically, the cost of in-house of administering and the transportation of people who participate from throughout the state.
Any questions of Senator Bennett?
Okay, Senator Fish, one, and I know there's no capital because that was a real concern. Don, do you know what it was last year? What was the amount last year about?
It's very similar.
About a half a million each year is fine.
Yeah, it's like it was a little higher because it was in Whitewater the last time.
So,
had to travel for
Mr. Chairman, if the checkoff system goes and if that generates this, then we're talking next year of maybe eliminating this if we get.
Hopefully, totally eliminating.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Yearman.
The checkoff program could probably do $550,000. I know in my community school bill they're saying it could do $550,000 or $750,000. So, eventually, if the checkoff goes through, this
further questions? Is there anybody here who wishes to testify on Senate Bill 234?
Well, Mr. Chairman, as a former participant of the Knuckle Hockey, I would move that we move Senate Bill 234 with individual recommendations.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so finance is adjourned until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. We'll call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Present this morning, Senator Bennett, Hensley, Ewing, Duncan, Fisher, and Binkley. We have several bills up this morning. Senate Bill 150, an act relating to bonds issued for school construction. SB 169, relating to the training of foster parents. SB 22, exempting certain telephone and electric utilities and certain transactions from regulation by APUC. And Senate Bill 55, establishing Minto Flats State Game Refuge. We will be holding SB 55, the Minto Flats State Game Refuge, over until next week. So if there's anybody here that had wished to testify on that, I will be posting the calendar for next week, and that'll be up next week. First bill we'll hear this morning is Senate Bill 150. Excuse me, also SJR 40, Course Amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the use and expenditure of state money, will be held over until next week also. First bill up this morning, Senate Bill 150, an act relating to bonds issued for school construction. This bill was introduced by Senators Fisher, Bennett, and Szymanski. The bill would add a new section to AS 1411 relating to financing for school construction debt. See, there are many people from municipalities here to testify this morning. I think maybe we'll turn it over to Senator Fisher, and you can give us a little background on the legislation.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would really want to thank you for offering the opportunity for the people we're from out of town to be able to testify and give their reactions to bonded debt restructuring. We all are aware that there is a budget crunch in the state of Alaska, and in the municipality level, they're going to have to increase taxes because of revenue shortfall, whether it be revenue sharing, municipal assistance, or even the school foundation. One of the solutions that seems to be apparent to alleviate that to a degree is to allow some restructuring of the school debt. Which means that they could defer a payment for a year or two and pick it up somewhere down the road. We all know, it was a state policy that to tie state debt for school debt retirement into the oil curve. And that's why the legislature did establish that no bond could be extended for more than 10 years so that the state had the ability to pay, and when the ability to pay was gone, the state was out of debt. I know this is all theory. But there's a real policy question involved here. Should we hold to the revenue curve, or should we open, I've heard the term, the floodgates, to allow total restructuring of debt, including the state share? And that's a question. Or should we put limitations to say that the state still will be locked into their restructuring plan and allow the municipalities then to restructure their portion any way they want it? The problem is, though, that if we allow that and we say it's an 80-20, we all know that the districts never got the 80. You know, it was always somewhat less than that. So that's a problem if you do take that approach, because we never did fund the 80-20. The original bill that I had, there was one section that said, and I believe this firmly, that if anything goes to the people, more often than not, they will make the right choice. Now, the problem with that is the municipalities need short-term, they need it now. That means it would be an election, which means it would be delayed for a year and they wouldn't get the benefit of that. Barn people will say, and so municipality people will say, well, that's not normal. You don't normally go to the people just for a restructuring. And the only problem I had with that was we're not talking peanuts anymore. We're talking millions and millions of dollars. And we may, in the worst case scenario, be building schools financially, so to speak, but getting no bricks for it, just in the interest alone. And the worst case in one particular school district who has about $146 million worth of debt, and you carry the worst case scenario for 20 years, it's an additional $90 million. Well, when you start talking these terms, it gets a little bit staggering. The purpose of the bill, mainly, and the reason why Mr. Chairman gave me the opportunity today was to hear what the municipalities had to say, get their side of the issue, and then hopefully we can put something together that would be in the best interest of not only the municipalities, but also the state. The ideal thing, Mr. Chairman, would be if we came up with the 80-20 every year. Then we wouldn't have to worry about this kind of thing. But tradition, we know that we're not going to do that. But if we were firm and did that, I don't think they would be here today. At least that's the feeling that I get. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, why don't we have the testimony so they can express how they feel on bond restructuring.
Okay, thank you, Senator. Before we start, are there any questions of Senator Fisher? Okay, we'll just move right into testimony. This morning we have Dorothy Jones, Mayor from Palmer. Could you join us at the table, please? And I believe you kind of headed up the task force that was involved with this.
I didn't have to come in until later, and then made me chairman. That's what happens.
They show up on time.
Gentlemen, thank you for giving us the opportunity to come before you today. We really do appreciate it. I ask that some copies of some letters signed by various mayors throughout the state be passed out to you. There is a one that's signed singly from the Ketchikan Gateway Borough Mayor, as well as one with several signatures on it, and then one with no signatures that essentially is the feelings that were typed up here by Mayor Hawley. Even though it is not signed, I wanted to submit it to you. These were his feelings. They're identical except for the very last paragraph. He changed it somewhat, but the meaning is still there.
Dorothy, if you could just give your name and be representing for the record.
I'm Dorothy Jones, Mat-Su Borough Mayor, and at this present time I'm representing the Mayor's Task Force.
Thank you.
I've been asked to speak on House or Senate Bill 150. Essentially, gentlemen, we support the entire bill except for Section 1. And the main reason for that would be that the vote has gone to the people. They have already approved the bonds. The only thing they did not approve was the extension of time. And that's all we're asking, is for an extension of time. Normally, in other municipalities, debt service is covered in a 20-year period. Because of the oil and our revenues that we had, the state saw fit to give us a 10-year period, simply because it wasn't because they didn't want us to pay longer. It was because some had taken advantage of the income from the oil and were paying off high debt service in a very, very short time. So it was the reverse than what would normally be the case. We're asking that bill be passed without Section 1. There is a companion bill, and that is going to the vote of the people, and I'll explain why. According to the group that have met, we have a review by bond council and all of those that are well and knowledgeable in the bonding capacities. And we have some people here who can answer questions for you if you have questions that would relate to that. I won't try to answer the ins and outs of trying to go to sale of bonds. Oftentimes when you want to sell the bond issue, it's critical for time. If you were to take this to a vote of the people, you may not get the best interest rate, the best structuring rate, or whatever, for this to be refinanced. There is a lot, and before that, you'd have to have an exact figure to put on the ballot for the people to vote on. And that's very difficult to do, because you could have 60 days from the time you vote on it until the very quickest you could get it to sale. And the rate and the amount and that amount of money that you might be restructuring could be considerably different than what the people voted on. And that's what our big problem is. So I'm asking simply on behalf of the mayors if you would pass this bill as written without Section 1. Are there any questions that I might be able to answer?
Thank you. So the big problem that you see is just the fact that when you put this on the ballot, that the interest rate may change from the time the voters would approve that to when you actually sold the bonds.
That's correct, and quite often that they do change on the market very rapidly. And a half a percent of an interest can make a great deal of difference.
Could you put a range on the ballot?
I can't speak to that, Senator, because I don't know the election laws well enough, but I do know that we were mandated to put 80% or 75% or whatever that the state told us that we were going to be reimbursed on the ballot, and we couldn't say other than that's what we were told we had to put on there. So
now did you put 80% or did you put up to 80%?
Some were specifically to a percentage and others were up to.
Senator Fisher.
Chairman, thank you. Just two things. It was not the intent when I drafted the bill on the ballot to put the amount of interest or the cost. The idea was to say yay or nay, can we restructure the debt? That would still be left up to the people. It's just a matter we're talking to, if we're going to go the whole way, all I wanted the people to say is we're going to allow our borough to do that. I didn't expect to have the amount of interest or anything else. The other thing, Mr. Chairman, we just looked at statutes this morning. There may be some confusion by borough people. They talk about on the ballot proposition, it has to say yes, the amount of local effort, state effort, or whatever, and most of them put 80% or up to 80. But if there was a history that showed it was only 72, maybe there was some misgivings, because the law does not say that it has to be 80. It says your best guess. And I guess maybe when these things are being sold, of course, to sell the things, you should put the highest amount because people will vote for them. But if we were to, in the future, maybe the past is over, we can't do much about it, but in the future, if tradition has been 72% state, then maybe what we ought to do is somehow require them to put 72%, so it doesn't oversell the bond issue, because I know, and even though we needed the schools, the people out there hustling for the schools were saying, hey, the state's going to pick up 80. And I know when I would say no, it says up to, I wasn't very popular, because it may water it down. But the law does not say you have to put the 80. It's your guess. And I would hope that in the future, the best guess goes on instead of the 80, to make it more realistic.
I appreciate your comments, Senator, but in all honesty, our clerks and the like put those issues on the ballot. There are election chiefs, and they take their directions from Election Central, and I can't really comment. I wouldn't try to comment for what they've done. And I'm not saying what they've done, because we all did it together.
Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The refinancing that we're talking about, I realize that now we're talking about refinancing forward. Are these projects that are sort of a sweep of projects that go back 2 years or 3 years or 4 years? It sort of seems like sort of a carte blanche kind of a situation.
We need the option, Senator, and the reason that we're asking for that option is until bond counsel and our finance people who are knowledgeable can go over each issue and say whether it's fiscally prudent to do that, to restructure, because you can, in all honesty, you can cost yourself money if you don't look at what you're doing. We're not asking to just automatically go and restructure every bond that we have. It would have to be those that are possible to restructure with a savings.
But Mr. Chairman, we can go, you can technically go back through every bond issue that you had and pick and choose which ones you want to refinance, which ones you don't refinance.
Yes, yes, we could, because it would not, as I say, if you only have 3 years left to pay, it wouldn't pay for you to restructure those bonds, for instance. It would cost you.
Now, I also realize the urgency of the need in the MATSU with some of the problems that you're having out there. How much are you talking about, let's say, just in the MATSU borough?
Our debt service this year on the borough side would be $24 million, and that's a fixed rate for our budget process this budget year.
You, Excuse me, you pay $24 million a year just in debt service?
Yes, sir.
Oof.
And sometimes more, depending on whether we have a two-year call or others. I might add, I know it sounds like a great amount of money, but Kenai Peninsula Borough is in a similar situation. And the reasons we're in similar situations, Senators, is that during a very short space of time, we had a tremendous growth rate, up to 47% in 1 year. We went in 7 years from less than, in our borough, from less than 10,000, right at 10,000 people, and we're now at about 45,000. That's a tremendous growth rate. When you had kids double shifting, hanging out of 100 portables without indoor potties or water or anything like that, and you have hundreds of parents coming in saying, we need a structure of some sort, you do go out, and they're at that point in time willing to build.
Senator Yuma.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, the $24 million you're talking about in debt service, that's what you have right now?
Yes.
So what would you have in debt service then if, let's say, you were allowed to go through with a new bond issue? I'm just trying to get examples.
I can't give you an exact figure because, there again, the finance people and the bond people would have to look them over. We have bond counsel that studies them as far as interest rate, what the best market is for resale, and on and on. There are many things, and I don't profess to be knowledgeable about all of the bond counsel. That's why we hire professionals to do it, because they know the ins and outs. But I can tell you this, that I know of two issues, I'm certain I'm right here, two issues at least in the Mat-Su Borough, that if we were have the ability to restructure today, even if we extended it, we would still be saving $1 million for ourselves in the state.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure if you've seen the, you're testifying to the original bill. And
yes, sir,
very
I am.
Clear what your testimony is there. Section 1 is what causes you the difficulty. There's a proposed committee substitute that I just checked with Senator Fisher on. It's in our packet. Do you have a copy of that?
No, sir, I do not.
I was wondering if you could comment on that as to...
Could I take a little time to read it?
Sure. I think the differences are on the first page, line 20 through 24, and then the new section 2 on the back. Well, it's two of the differences. The other is he deletes the requirement for a vote for the proposed committee substitute question.
I think maybe what we could do, Senator, I think some of the people from Department of Revenue are fairly familiar with that. Maybe we should have them come forward and explain it first.
If you wouldn't mind, sir, would like to read it.
They'll be able to come back.
And then have her come back and comment.
Because I really don't want to take up your time, but for the chairman, I would give the originals of these letters if you'd like to have
them. Thank you. Senator Hensley.
Before she leaves,
I'll come back.
Even if you were permitted to... Mm-hmm. restructure your bonded debt, would that be adequate even? You know, it sounds to me like you have a real problem. I mean...
We budget, 87% of our budget is for schools, whether it's maintenance and operation or including the school debt. This is in our borough. I'm speaking for our borough. I cannot speak on behalf of others because they fluctuate in other boroughs, Senator. It would make a difference because what did we do? We realized with the lessened revenues that we're faced with, we're going to have to raise a mill levy. Evaluations are going down, but in order to take care of fixed costs, then your millage is going to have to come up. That's and all we're saying is that given the fact if everything happens according to the worst case scenario that we hear coming from Juneau, 56% reimbursement from unbonded indebtedness from the state, a cutback in revenue sharing municipal assistance, state mandated programs being not funded but are already been given to, say for instance, the senior citizens for this year, and on, Mat-Su Borough could be picking up overnight another 10 mills. And that's just too much for people in this economic time.
Well, what is your millage?
At the present time, our base mill, now we're in the process of budgeting, so I can't tell you, it's proposed at about 7. Our base millage right now is 5.7.
5.7?
Yes. But that, you know, there's service areas and it averages about 8, actually.
Thank you, Mr.
This is for my own borough. I'm not speaking on behalf of anyone else.
Okay. Senator Fisher.
Dorothy, the $24 million, is that all local money? Does that include the state? It's all local.
What we do, I may be misunderstanding you. What we do, and oftentimes, is we have the $24 million, I'll use that figure, because it does fluctuate a few million up or down, depending on, like I say, the issue. We have to pay. Some of that is like a two-year lag. We're waiting for reimbursement from the state, which doesn't always come at the percentage that they told us we were going to get back. So the taxpayers pick up that difference.
I guess my question is, of the $24 million, is any of that ever reimbursed by the state, or is it totally borough money? That's what I think would be important.
Oh, I believe it's totally borough money, sir. I may be.
Well, what's
totally
your total debt service of which the state picks up 70% of that, or 80%, or whatever the portion is?
Some of it, yes.
Right.
For that year.
Right.
Like I say, I may be misunderstanding the question.
I was just trying to, if it was totally borough, you have to pay out of your borough treasury $24 million a year. I don't even think
we'd
really be in trouble.
We do pay that, and that's a set fee, and then we wait for reimbursement, which may or may not come.
At whatever level the state sets reimbursement.
And Mr. Chairman, I'll ask you, if the state were to honor their moral commitment of the 80-20, would you be here today?
No, we would not. And if we could be assured that next year and the year after and so on, that we would get whatever the percentage was that was told to us early on, you probably wouldn't see us here asking for this option to go back to restructure.
Well, but of that $24 million of annual debt service, what's the total amount of debt that the Matsu Borough has?
Let me see. Maybe. I'll use a round figure, $256 million.
About $256 million of debt. And most of those are 20-year bonds? 10-year bonds?
Beg your pardon.
Most of those are 10-year bonds?
They're all? Yes, I would say most of them are.
I know you don't have the specifics because, as you said, you've got several different issues.
Yes.
And you'd have to look at those each individually. Have you just ballparked it? Have you said, you know, of this $256 million of debt that we have, you know, 80% of it we can go out and refinance, or?
It wouldn't be that high, Senator, I can tell you that. But I can tell you this, I would hate to make a statement in front of you, gentlemen, be totally in error. The finance director has been looking for him. He's not here. But there are finance directors here who can speak for their own issue, which Kenai is similar. If
so, you really don't have any estimation of how much money you could save?
I personally do not know. I did not come prepared to tell you what.
But you said that you could save the borough and the state $1 million a year?
In two issues that I'm aware of.
And how much do those two issues account for?
I think one of them is $61 million and one is about $40 million. You're asking me to pull those figures out of my head. I hope you won't hold me to them later.
No, I'm just so I can get kind of an idea, because I have no concept of where the Matsu Borough or any other boroughs really stand as far as debt. I mean, this is astounding to me that they've got $250 million worth of debt in Matsu Borough. I never even imagined it would be that high, to be honest with you. But, yeah.
I might say, at the present time, I guess I could say this, that right now, if I read this correctly, on some of the graphs that we've done, it's about $3.5 million that we'd have to increase, that we'd be paying this year extra. But if you do not give us the option and everything falls into place as it has been proposed,
we have to 56% reimbursement,
right,
as the governor proposed.
We would have to pay almost 11 million, from 3.5 up to 11 million. And that's...
Say that again, from 3.5...
up to $11 million more.
Okay, so of the $24 million debt service that you have, right
that
now...
That's last year's debts, and we have this, that's about the same amount for this year.
Okay, and the borough then pays $3.5 million of that approximately this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, we'll pay the full amount and then wait for reimbursement.
Yeah, but you have been in the past reimbursed all the $3.5 million of that.
No, I'm talking about this one year.
Okay. Last year, you were reimbursed of your $24 million annual payment to service those debts.
Up to about $3.5 million.
Okay, so the state paid approximately $21.5 million. Mm-hmm. The borough paid $3.5 million.
Do you want to use that as a go-by?
Okay, but what you're saying is that if the state only reimburses 56% of the debt, 70% of the old 80, then you would be picking up $11 million of that 24. The state would be picking up the other $13
million. That's correct.
I see, okay. And that would be approximately $10 mil increase in
your
taxes.
With just the debt service, it would be about $5.5 mil. And then given the revenue sharing debt service, the mandated program would pick up the balance to make an increase in approximately $10 million increase.
Okay.
I just wanted to make that clear.
Okay, but now you said that you'd be able to save the state $1 million, the borough and the state $1 million by refinancing.
Because of the interest rate on some. And because the fact that we have I believe it's called a call on one of them that we can call and the interest rate is high enough, we can restructure and save money.
Okay, so then your debt service, I would assume, if you could save $1 million, would go from $24 million annually down to $23 million annually.
Yes, you could use that, but it's like I want to make it perfectly clear. That's a fixed figure each year. We can't let it go up or down, but it can fluctuate depending upon the issue of the bonds for that, that come due that year. Do you understand?
Yeah, I think I understand that. This $24 million of annual debt service is approximate.
Yes.
Fluctuates somewhat.
Yes.
But you said that by refinancing, the state and the borough would be able to save approximately $1 million a year.
On those two issues alone. And those we have not gone in depth because we didn't. It takes a lot of time, a lot of effort to go to the market and all this to come out with the exact savings, Senator. And I'm not trying to tell you that we have the exact figures because we don't know whether we do it, and that takes a lot of time and effort to get those to that point.
Right, but by restructuring, you're going to lose for $100 million of your debt, which is about 40% of it. Yeah. You're going to save about $1 million a year on your debt service annually.
On those two issues, but
you're about 40% of your debt.
It could be, but there could be more. We just looked at it that one time. I'm trying to say that the market fluctuates.
Mm-hmm. Senator,
maybe I haven't been listening carefully enough, but now, I understand that we're going to save money from the debt service part of it, going down from $24 million down to $23 million. How much more new debt do we create out there that, in addition to what we have right now? None or more? I mean, in other words, it's going to have to create, if you refinance everything, it's either going to bring back more cash back in to the...
You will have a cash flow to the state if all communities were allowed to restructure, Senator. That could be, this is a moderate figure, from $23 to $50 million cash flow to state savings if we were allowed to restructure. And these are ballpark figures because, as we said, we just picked to try to come up with some figures for you.
Yeah.
And that's really ballpark. If you want to get to the nitty-gritty, we can sit with each issue and go it over with you. But
I just meant, if we're talking about ballpark kind of figures here, how many more $1 million worth of debt is, let's say, and this is just the math suit, but there might be other boroughs, are we going to create additional debt out there?
It will cost you more probably in the long run, because it's just like when you refinance a house or a car, the long term you end up paying up some more interest. But you may be saving some. For instance, if you bought 17% for your car and all of a sudden now with the interest rates down to say 7 or 8, you can save a considerable amount of interest.
Right. I guess that's sort of my point, that if right now you've got $256 million in debt out there, how much of a percentage are you going to increase that debt from where you are?
I honestly can't tell you, sir. I really can't.
Senator Fisher, did you have...
No, I guess the follow-up, I guess that's the whole theme, answer. If the term is used, and I've heard up to $80 million of savings for the state, what I think they're talking about is a cash flow situation. It's a deferment of that $80 million somewhere along the line. You're going to pick up more than that. So in a case, if the state were to, if you were to refinance everything out there, it's $700 million for 20 years, and this is just a guess, maybe Mel has addressed this, but I think it would cost the state an additional $300 to $400 million more in debt.
Over
the time, but in the short term, it gets us over a cash flow period.
Well,
question is a policy question. It boils down to, do we want to go 20 years at an additional cost of several hundred million dollars to have a cash savings right now of 80? And that's the
question. Mr. Chairman, I guess we've created the crisis.
Mm-hmm.
We essentially have created the crisis because they don't know where they can come up with their dollars, because they don't know where our dollars are as far as this year, and that's what was confusing to me.
Yeah, I don't know if we can. I don't know who's created the crisis. I mean, the voters ultimately voted to
go into debt.
One final question, Dorothy, or Madam Mayor.
Dorothy's fine.
You mentioned that, you know, the biggest problem we had was the timing as far as putting on the ballot the interest rate and then having a different interest rate when it was actually sold as opposed to what the voters had voted on. Given Senator Fisher's comment that his intention was simply to have it a yes or no question to the voters, would you authorize the borough to refinance their debt, yes or no? That, of course, wouldn't get into the complexities of what the interest rates may be at that time as compared to when they're sold. Would that alleviate the concerns you have about putting it on the ballot?
It may and it may not, and I'll explain why. It still takes a minimum, as I understand it, 45 days for an election.
Mm-hmm.
There can be a great deal of change in the bond market in 45 days, and it may not be worth your while, even after you've been authorized. Do you understand what I'm saying?
You're saying that the margin of savings may be so slight that the interest rates could change in 45 days. Pardon?
They may not want to buy your issue. The market might not be there at the time.
In the lapse of 45 days?
Could be.
I guess I'd...
There are so many different... You're asking me some technical questions, Senator, that I don't feel qualified to really give you good answers. And there are people here who could answer those questions better for you.
Okay, but I guess the point that I'm getting at as far as the question goes and the policy of that,
mm-hmm.
which I'd want to address to you, is that if the technicalities could be overcome, do you have any problem with the policy of allowing the voters to decide on the issue?
No, I don't have any problem with voters ever deciding on a particular issue, but this is one time I firmly believe that they have voted on the issue, and when we need to do that, the finance people, the bond councils, the underwriters, Standard & Poor's and Moody's, I'll look them all over and whether or not they're a valid resale. And that takes time.
So I guess I still didn't get, I guess I kind of heard two answers there. That one, you didn't have any problem with putting it on the ballot, and the other was that you did have a problem in this case of doing it.
I could see that there could be a problem. In all honesty, Senators, you're all very knowledgeable people, but when it comes to you're somewhat like me when it comes to the bonding, unless you're an underwriter or a bond counsel, we all need a lot of help in how to handle these. And I'm trying to answer questions for you, in all honesty, the way I see them.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think the technical people need to get here to tell you why markets fluctuate as they do, and who
okay, and that's fine. But as far as that, if that could be overcome, you wouldn't have any problem with putting it on the ballot then?
As long as it could be overcome, but don't forget that the minimum is 45 days, and that may not be enough time, or too much time, and you know, elapsed, because you still have to get the package ready to take back to New York or wherever you sell them, San Francisco.
Okay, maybe what we could do at this time is have somebody from Revenue come forward and explain the committee substitute. Senator Newman.
Just one quick last question. I know you've done a real good job here in answering all the questions.
Not really, but I've tried.
What we've got then is a situation where you're anticipating that you're going to get less revenue sharing and less municipal assistance and those kind of things. And as a result of that, then you're anticipating that this is something that you have to do then.
That's correct.
So
well,
it's all based
no,
on
sir.
Anticipation. That's
I don't. I don't think that we have to do anything if you really want to know the truth. And the reason I say that is we could go our taxpayers and say, okay, we don't have to restructure, but your mill levy is missed out 30 mills. But quite honestly, Senator, I would not want to go to the grocery store or drive down the street and meet my constituents too often, given the fact that they had, say, 8 mills and it jumped to 30. And I'm just using that as an if. I mean, when you're living and amongst your constituents, They really don't care whether it's the state or the borough or the feds that have caused the problem. It happens to be the local government that sets that mill levy that creates those taxes that they're about to be upset over. I'd like to...
Further questions at this time in this area? Okay. Madam Mayor, thank you. And if we could have somebody, I think Milt Barker from...
I'd like to read this, and then I'd be happy to come back.
Good. And I think Milt Barker from Revenue will give kind of an explanation of it, and we can all be enlightened by that, and then maybe we can get your comments after that.
If I might, Senator, the total with interest... Let's see. Interest and... the coupon total, I think that Matt Downing has, I was pretty close to the right figure according
Good.
To these things here.
Thank you.
That's what you're interested in.
Milt, if you could join us, please.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Milt Barker, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Revenue, and I will first maybe say just a few words about the two types of refinancing that are actually done, and then briefly describe the bill and what we're trying to do there. There are two types of refinancing, and one is where you can pay off your old debt, and that's like AHFC does with their refinancing. The borrower gets to pay off his old debt. And because he's borrowing new money at lower interest rates, everybody makes a profit on it, except for the old debt holder. That might be called a situation where there's a net present value savings from the refinancing. When you're dealing with bonds, that usually means the bonds have to have a call feature, which allows you to pay them off. Otherwise, the bonds remain outstanding, and you remain obligated for that original contracted interest rate. In those situations, there still might be times when you'd want to refinance, even though there's not going to be any present value savings, simply to stretch out your payments, and that is the impetus behind a lot of the legislation here on refinancing. When you stretch your payments out, you don't pay any more principal, but you do pay more interest, and potentially a lot more interest depending on how long the payments are stretched out and what interest rate you have to pay. So with that in mind, the bill you have before you in section, well, let me say generally what we're trying to do here. This bill would, for the state's part, keep the state reimbursement on this schedule, which it is right now for the original bonds.
Look, can I interrupt for just a minute? And I hate to interrupt you, but I think we need to go kind of slowly here to make sure all of us really understand this. Okay, when you say that when it does not have a call feature on it, which means that you cannot pay it off then, but you can go back and restructure that same bond to extend out the life at the same interest rate?
Well, you issue new bonds, but in essence, yes, you restructure that bond and stretch out the payments.
But you don't take advantage of any new interest rates at that point, then?
Well, right. There's no advantage to be had. You have to pay whatever the new interest rates are on the debt you issue to pay the old bonds. But if that...
No. Okay, there's two types, you said, right? One is the kind that you can pay off completely.
Right.
And that's what's called... It's said to have a call feature on it. You can call that bond and pay it off with no penalty, so to speak.
Correct.
And then you just simply go out and buy a new bond or issue a new bond.
That's right.
Okay, and then the second type is one, the one that does not have the call feature.
Yes. Or it's not currently available. It's 10 years down the road.
Right. It's due to expire 10 years down the road, and the holders of that bond have some covenant or some language that says you can't just go in and pay this bond off.
Right.
Without paying all the interest it would have accumulated anyhow, or something to that effect. So with those, then you simply can go back, though, and negotiate out the length of time that you have to pay on that at that same bond rate?
Yes, in essence. You don't negotiate with the existing bondholders. You issue a new bond and use the proceeds of it to pay off the
bond. Oh, I see. But then you also have to pay the interest penalty, so to speak, or what that bondholder would have normally been expected to accrue over the life of that bond.
That's true if the call is not currently available. And even with the call, there is usually a premium for the first 2 or 3 years. In other words, you'll typically pay 3% of par. You'll pay $103 for a $100 bond to retire it in the first year, and that'll gradually drop down to par where you pay $100 for $100. So there is a prepayment penalty ordinarily with those first years.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so the bill would do two things. One is to keep the state to its original reimbursement schedule, and the reason for doing that is that the majority of these refinancing...
Senator Duncan?
Yeah, you're talking about your proposed committee substitute or the original bill?
I'm talking about the committee substitute.
Okay, sorry.
The committee substitute would keep its original reimbursement schedule. And the reason for doing that is to avoid paying an additional interest cost that would be incurred with the majority of these refinancings, which are purely extensions. Those additional costs would largely accrue during the 1990s when the state's going to be looking at less revenue than we have right now. Currently, the state's debt service schedules are such that they fall off more rapidly than the revenue from Prudhoe Bay, and we expect to have capacity to issue additional debt in the 1990s. However, stretching out the payments will eat up that capacity and postpone the time when the state could otherwise issue additional debt for any general obligation bonds or additional school debt reimbursement for new schools or whatever. The extensions are do not help in the long term, and that is the reason that we would like to keep the original reimbursement schedule.
Senator, while we're right on that, striking that point, Mr. Chairman, so what would the extension of these bonds be? In other words, right now they're at they're 10-year bonds, and they would now go to 20-year bonds?
It would be at the discretion of the issuer doing the refinancing. The municipality, they could make them 15, 20, 30-year bonds, whatever they desire.
Mr. Chairman, how would that affect our bond rating, our state bond?
Well, I don't think it would affect our rating. I would say that the amount that the state pays for school debt reimbursement is a factor that the rating agencies look at when they evaluate the state's credit. However, it's one of many factors, and it is not the sole determinant of the state's rating. In fact, other factors such as the plunge in the price of oil, a much more significant event for the state, still allowed us to keep our rating. So I couldn't say that the stretching out of this debt would make a break the state's rating, but it is something that is looked at because it's paid from the state general fund towards a debt obligation.
Senator Fisher?
The question that I have on the committee substitute in the department's position, and I don't know if anybody here from the governor's office, but I think we need to know what the position of revenue is for the committee substitute, where we're locked into the 10-year payback. And then I guess I would like to know if, in the governor's sake, is he going to veto anything short of something like this? And I think we need to know that because these people need to know. I don't know what it may, they have to make a decision on mill rate. And whatever we do, Mr. Chairman, has to be done in the next couple of days so that they know what to do as far as setting the mill rate. And I think it's critical that we know the governor's position. Let me ask the department's position first, and then maybe we can at a later time address the governor's position. But I think we need to know where he fits.
Well, yes, sir. The department does support the committee substitute. And at this point, I can't tell you whether the governor would veto other legislation or not, but I can certainly make inquiries about that.
Senator Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Milt, I was wondering if we could just kind of go through your proposed committee substitute just so we can see how it,
yes, sir.
Just kind of step by step so we can understand for sure how it works and how the municipalities would benefit under this, okay? Do you have a copy of it?
I do not.
See,